I have several scriptures that I wish to read to you, but in order that even though the young ones that so thankfully we see amongst us may follow what we have in mind, I just want to draw certain things to your attention, that you might take account of them in the scriptures as we read of them. I'm going to read a scripture that has to do with something that applies to our life that we live at this moment on earth. I'm going to read scriptures that have to do with three men dying. I'm going to read a scripture that opens the grave and gives us a sight therein. I'm going to read two scriptures that deal with the first and the second resurrection. And I'm going to read two scriptures that deal with eternity. The first one is in Romans chapter 3. It's a scripture that our beloved brother read to us last evening. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. To show the basis of that righteousness, just turn over the page to chapter 5. I'll read three verses. Verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. And there also two other malefactors, dead with him, be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But enough. One malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today, be with me. Today thou shalt be with me. Now, just to emphasize what I want to point out, turn to John chapter 19. Verse 1. It was there because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the day and high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Came this, the legs of the first. Now will you with me please to Luke chapter 16. To pass a beggar died. carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and wept. His eyes being in torments, and they are far off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But he is tormented, and thou art tormented. And beside this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. Say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord shall send from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Revelation. The expression that I read, the dead in Christ shall rise first. 25. But the rest of the dead, the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. He is here in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. 7. And I saw a great throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found a place for them. And I saw small and great stand before God. And the book opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead judged of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up which were in it, and death the grave delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, heard the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with them. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. You needn't turn to this in the 11th chapter of Exodus. Tells Moses the Passover night that the difference between the Egyptian and the Israelite is him which says the blood was the sign, Lord, that marked them as thine, Lord. Tonight, the scriptures that we have read tonight, we have seen the difference. Make it perfect as far as I am able to the very youngest in this room, the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. God and shows off. And I trust that you have seen with me in these scriptures that there is a difference in this life now, which that took place at a scene of the death of three men. A believer and an home tonight. Brothers and brethren, to the Lord Jesus came tonight, every seat would be empty. But would it? Saved? Christ as your Savior? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you saved, secure, and assured of your eternal salvation? Sends out that cutting, that divider. I wonder if there is a division, a difference in this room tonight, a difference that only God Himself knows, that only the Spirit of God can discern. The difference between a person who is truly a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ and a person who is not a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us see further the difference that there is, as we read in Romans chapter 3. Reminded recently the wonderful fact of the righteousness of God. And you know, beloved brethren, I can't add to the words that we have seen, that we have sung together. The way that in the death of Christ, God has put forth His righteousness. And in that precious death has been laid that basis where God, in perfect righteousness, in accord with all that He is, in regard to His holiness and His righteousness, but also His love, has found a way whereby He can righteously forgive the sinner that believes on Jesus. The glory of the love of God is, how much the sight of Calvary there, the way that God, in the magnificence of His love, displayed it in such a way that He's captivated your heart. Has He won yours? You have read, God which is by faith unto all. Affection unto all. And brethren, this room, yea, everybody in this wide world is included in that expression. The righteousness of God tonight by faith of Jesus Christ is available to all. Love the world, gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him, the cross of Christ reached out to all. To you, my dear friend, tonight, if as yet you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior, the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ tonight is unto you, to all. But the verse goes on that it is upon. Notice that. Here is that first difference that I want you to take careful note of. Notice of. The righteousness of God is available to all through faith of Jesus Christ. But it is upon that belief. We might say that believe that at the cross the righteousness of God was procured. And ever since then, the day of Pentecost, the righteousness of God has been preached. Righteousness of God by all those that believe. Are you a possessor of the right God that is by faith of Jesus Christ? And God declares this tonight. And you know, just a illustration of the wide presents His righteousness to you tonight. I turned over the pages and read those few verses from Romans chapter 5. Three verses declare on one side the degradation and the depths and the helplessness and the hopelessness of sin. But on the other hand, it's the love of God in Christ that died for me at Calvary. Think of these verses. For when we strength, the condition of being ruined by sin, powerless to do anything about it, under the domination of sin, Satan, and the power of death. When we were in that condition, Christ died for the righteous, no, the ungodly. You see the manner of the love of God in righteousness. That having taken account of what sin had done to me and to you, whilst we were in that condition of helplessness, it was then that Jesus took up the man and died for the ungodly. Died for me. Brethren, let us the effect of that Jesus died for me. Again, I ask, is there one in this room who is not living a life and neatness and the charm and the influence of the wonderful fact that Jesus, my Saviour, died for me. Again, it says, God hath his love. Or when we look at Calvary in the light, often we look at Calvary in the light of the hatred and the wretchedness and the suffering and the shame that men heaped upon that precious man. But how was it the love of God was greater? Mind that why did Calvary have, why did the Son of God have to die thus? Such a cruel, ignominious, terrible death. Why was it so? It was on account, beloved friend, that the love of God in all its magnitude might manifestly be seen, that the love of God in giving Jesus to die thus was greater than all the ruin that sin had wrought in the hearts of men and women. My dear friend, tonight the message to you, if you know not God, is this, that the love of God is greater than anything that you have ever done in regard to the matter. God commendeth his love to us in that while we were sinners, whilst we were in that terrible condition of having so offended God on account of the things that we have done, it was what Christ did for us. And lastly, for when we were enemies, when we were enemies, verse, you know, that demonstrates this to us in a wonderful way. To take account of the dying, suffering Saviour, to take as they nailed him with thorns, beat with nails, and a heart pierces the depths of sorrow man ever knew. Thus he could say to those men that so afflicted him, Father, forgive them. The love that flows out of Calvary and manifests the night character of the love of God that gave Jesus to die such a death for you and for me when we were enemies. And who can tell of a heart that has been sin, a heart that hates God? And yet you are reconciled to God, son. What a verse of Scripture. Reconciled to God. Go back to God by the death of his son. This is the character of the Lord that has proved the righteousness of God that tonight goes out to all, but is only upon those that believe. This is a matter. This is a difference. It has to be night. We know not what a day may be. It is you, everyone in this room. It is of you tonight. None are excluded. But the possession of the righteousness of God, which is of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, peace with God, hope of heaven, these things are only upon that believe. We've looked, secondly, deathbed scene as we speak. Figuratively, the scene of Calvary. I just want again to emphasize some of the exactness of Scripture, and that's to look at these three crosses. I want something that the very youngest, three crosses. Two of these men, Luke's Gospel, they are referred to first of all together. Two others, they were both the same. They were both wicked, sinful men. They had been apprehended by the Romans and were being crucified, executed on account of what they had done. They were both the same. But in the midst of those two was a third cross on which hung two men, two others. When we come, the Spirit of God separates them. Doesn't speak of them here as malefactors. He says 39, and one of them, which were hanged, and said, If thou be Christ, save us and thyself. Save thyself. I've got a word in the Bible written alongside that. Impossible. Impossible.
He asked for the impossible.
If sinners of love divine, all Calvary's week and its work, blessed say, must be thine. Himself cannot save, love sheeply flowed. In love himself gave to pay the debt I owed. Save thyself and us? Impossible, impossible. The other two men are being divided by the... They were divided. Dost thou not fear God? This man has done nothing amiss. Oh, how glad I am, beloved brethren, for that verse just there in Scripture. That such a scene, such a man, attests to the perfection of Jesus. This man has done nothing amiss. I cannot say the Spirit of God had wrought in this man, but he'd heard the word, Father, forgive, they know not what they do. That miracle of the working of the love of God had produced something in his heart that reached out in faith to that man of Calvary and said to him, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Faith in Lord, wonderful it is, if that's with thy mouth, Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And here was a man in the extremity of life, on the threshold of death, turned in faith and said, Lord, to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, unto thee, today, thou shalt be with me. And you'll notice that when we then into John's Gospel, and we come to that terrible, cruel way in which the Romans hurried men into eternity, finished the Jesus there first the other. And they were just two malefactors. When we read of the Spirit of God draws attention to this and the other, not say which one was the first. She doesn't. I know who was the first. The dying thief was probably meant to have died for the death of Jesus. I don't know. But I want to point out to you that central cross was the divine. And to put it in the most severe, and I trust penetrating language, one went to hell and the other went to heaven. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Out of, into eternity, arms of Jesus. And the other went to the bliss. Banishment from God. Now then, the scene of the death of either side of Jesus' cross, let me ask you, dear friend tonight, side of the cross are you? Have you taken your struggles who stood at the foot of the cross? Have you looked at the one his hands, his feet? Did e'er such love and so meet your thorns compose? Sir Richard Crumb, have you allowed God in all its wonder into that heart and life of yours? And have brought you down at the foot of the Saviour and said, yes, Jesus, my Saviour, who died for me. Or that you might do so now. I want to stop just here. Because look at Scripture, the line is crossed. We've retained now in our lives an opportunity. We've read of two men as they went out of this world into eternity. And up to that moment, opportunity to the Lord Jesus Savior. But now, we come to a statement of Scripture which tells us that the matter is fixed. Fixed. We turn, did we not, to Luke chapter 16, where the Lord Jesus draws aside the veil, so to speak, and gives us a sight into the grave. The present condition or place. Likewise, there is manifested difference between a believer. And the Lord Jesus tells this parable of these two men. A rich man dies who lived in luxury and excellence. But let us say, without God. And of a poor beggar and his sores and ate the crumbs that fell from his and the dogs were his only conscience. And where we began to read, continue where we left off with the and it came to pass that the beggar died and carried by the angels into Abraham's room. The rich man died also and was buried. In all probability, Lazarus was buried. But notice that the scripture speaks of him. Note he was buried the same as them. But the picture carried by the angels into a place of security and a place of love and a place of rest. It says of the other, hell, as are authorized. Nobody's in hell yet. These were in the grave. He lifted up his eyes. You see, he was conscious where he was. Have you ever thought of that, friend? That if you died, you would go to a condition or place where you were conscious of where you are. May not have a literal tongue. Man was consciously in a place of torment. Notice there's an S on that. He just tormented. He was in a place of torment. And he cries. Crying for mercy and mercy after death. The fatal line. For this had been crossed. And he passed into the place of death. And then torments, and he cried for mercy. The angel says to him, remember. Everything else scripture tells us, in that condition, recall their lives. Of now, if you come into him, this man was aware of the manner of life when he lived. And this person says to him, likewise, Lazarus, evil thing, he is comforted. Thou art tormented. I just want you to think that, dear friend. The condition of the dead is laid before us, according to scripture, in regard to one company or class of person, they are comforted. They're safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. We read of the lot of the believer that has died in Christ now is to be with Christ. They are comforted. The lot of the unbeliever is to be with remorse. It's a difference. I think of it now. You may be there tomorrow. I may be with my brethren in this room. To be with is very much and far better. But my friend, I plead with you tonight in the behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. And think of what these scriptures teach concerning the terrible issues of that which is involved in passing out of this life without the salvation of God, which is through the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is tormented. Thou art tormented. And those words, and beside all this, there is a great gulf fixed. The condition, the matter, is settled. And it can never be reversed. The chance. There's no second option. Once the fatal line is passed, then the matter is sealed and secured. But that's not the end. We read it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 of the way that Scripture speaks of the dead. We read in John chapter 5 of They that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come. They that have done good unto a resurrection of life. They that have done evil to a resurrection of damnation. The two directions, the believer and the lot of the apostle of Paul to the Thessalonians. And have believed, shall be caught up, Lord, in the air. But it's concerning the dead. Those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have died, like that repentance, have believed the gospel. They have the right on them. They are called the dead in Christ. And it says of them, they shall rise first, Christ. Here it is that there comes to our souls, loved ones, but who know that as to their lot and their state, they are the dead in Christ, with Christ, which is far better. But when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come, they shall rise. We with them shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But I turned you over then, I trust, not to lose the connection to the 20th chapter of Revelation, where we read, but the rest of the dead. You see, beloved friends, Scripture is so concerning those who have this Scripture, the dead in Christ, the rest of the dead. Now I know some of you will tell me that there's more in, so be it. Again, even the very young, clearly, the way that the Word of, and shows us clearly, that there is a difference in life, there is a difference in death, there is a difference in the grave, and there is a difference in the resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise and meet the Lord in the air, but the dead, says here, that they live not again for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first, and it comes to an end there. The first resurrection ends there. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And then we turned over and were presented with that awesome sight of more than me standing before God at the great white throne to receive the deeds that they have done in the body. Where the books were opened, and other book was opened, which is the book of life, where there was a record of all those who had believed, saved, where John takes account of the fact that there was no in the universe of God, where the dead could be find a secure such a scene, no hiding place at the great white throne. Even the sea, it says, gave up the depths. You think of the unfathomable depths of part of the ocean, yet where man has not been. And yet in our day, man has reached into space. And those that have died there, without Christ here, the rest of the dead. Death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, every man according to their works, into the lake of fire, wherein the Lord Jesus dwelleth not. And the quenched, the eternal destiny of the damned. These are terrible scriptures, man. Let's lay them out in order that you, my dear friend, might flee from that which is coming, and might come into the wonder of the scriptures that open out to us in the next chapter, where we are presented with God dwelling with men. What a wonderful end. It happened at Calvary. We can't. But I can say honestly that more than the realization that I shall dwell eternally with the God of Jesus to die for me. Can you think of anything sweeter, any than dwelling and living with such a God whose love was so manifested that he gave his dearest, his best, that you and me might dwell with him. And think of the way he is spoken of here
as a God who is the wiper away of tears. It's not an expression, you know, that he just wipes the tear away and it's done with. That isn't what this verse means. He's not of this character. He is a God of infinite love, compassion, understanding, and grace. He will eternally be known of my soul as a God of infinite compassion and understanding. God shall wipe away all tears. You know God in that way. Have you known God through our life? You tonight can that road by Jesus' Saviour. And on that pathway ultimately ends where we have ended tonight, in that wonderful eternity of God, where you can dwell with me, with God. And you know it says, God says, be to him as he shall be to me. Brought into relation, God. I said, if you do not know such an one tonight, come now to know such a God that gave Jesus to die for you at Calvary. And come into the wonder of knowing the God that gave Jesus to die by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. God bless you. May the Spirit of God draw us nearer as we have. We sing 75. Jesus lingers still. You see, dear friends, we haven't crossed that fatal line yet. We can sing tonight, Jesus lingers still. Opportunity is still available at this moment to trust Jesus as your Saviour. Jesus lingers still. It is for you. He waits. He's waited for you long. He waits that heaven, with its fadeless joy, may yet to you belong. Come and welcome. Come and welcome whosoever will. 'Tis the Saviour's gracious call. He is able, waiting now to save. Simply trust him. That is all. Shall we rise and sing number 75?